504 on a Barlow Steakhouse and Bistro Thursday. But Monday is a big day over at Barlow as well. Beer and Burger Day at $10. Draft beer, Bud Light, Coors Light, with a Barlow burger and house cut French fries. And we know how good those Barlow burgers are, don't we?
Y'all love them. I mean, I don't. You know it because Ellen has been fantastic each time in being able to cater the meal to what I want. She does.
I know
it drives you nuts,
Rich. The way you
Rich.
Say it, she's able to cater to what I want.
Well, I mean, that's what good restaurants do, Rich, is they don't just have, they have the menu, but if you have some modifications you'd like, maybe you have allergies out there. Your family.
Yes.
They will work with you. We know this, Rich. That's a crucial element to a good restaurant is can they find a way to tweak how they work to accommodate the guests? Barlow does that. So if you like the grass-fed burgers or if you like the jambalaya with andouille sausage as opposed to chicken, that's okay. But if you prefer a different option, and you know I do, Rich, there's something for me in as well. So
we know you do. We know you do. But the burgers are great. So go down there on Monday. $10, great deal. Burger, fries, and a beer. And trust me, if you haven't been there, the burgers are great. What do we have? The farmhouse burger, the Reuben burger was by far the biggest surprise when they had those burgers here just a couple weeks ago. I'm sitting there thinking, Reuben burger, really delicious. Brian from the morning show.
Oh, he can't stop raving about it.
It's great. Great. We recommend it. Obviously, the steaks there are great as well, but we want to tell you about Monday Beer and Burger Day over at Barlow.
It's fantastic. You can get the Barlow burger. You can also get either Coors Light, Bud, or Dos Equis on tap to go with your burger for just $10.
David Teal, Newport News Daily Press, kind enough to join us here on the Sports Line. Hi, David. How are you?
Gentlemen, how do we follow up on all this Food Network chatter? I'm not sure.
NBA draft talk, of course.
Okay.
We've got a ton of ACC guys who are going to wind up going tonight.
I'll say.
You know, I mean, this whole thing is... It's extremely interesting as far as all the moves that are, you know, that we're looking at, and this really all on the heels of the NBA Finals and, you know, maybe the Warriors really changing the dynamic of the NBA because now all of a sudden we're seeing teams trying to load up with three or four superstar players, so guys are jockeying around. Let's start there, though. NBA Finals. You know, we saw what the Warriors were able to do. Do you think this changes the dynamic? And I know you're more of a college hoops guy than an NBA guy, but I mean, what were your impressions of the NBA Finals and the direction of the NBA now?
Well, I think every sports league, be it college, professional, they're all copycats, right? So once something works, I want that bright, shiny thing. I want to be like them. I want to compete against them. So did the Warrior or have the Warriors change the dynamic? Absolutely. And the NBA is a shooter's league. That much is clear. And that's why I think, guys, someone like Jason Tatum is going to be an exceptional NBA player, far better than he was at Duke, where he was banged up, his entire team was banged up. I think when healthy, and I saw him when he was healthy, number one, late in the season, and number two, even far earlier than that, when he was on the AAU circuit. I mean, he is a scorer, and he is a 6'8", 6'9", scorer with range. Love his game. People are going to try to load up on stars and shooters. Everybody's trying to create cap room, the machinations of which I have no idea. But that's okay. That's for accountants to figure out and not me.
What impact has this had on the college game, which seems a very system-oriented, and oftentimes that takes time? How would you say the evaluation or the evolution of college basketball has progressed? Because a lot of the teams that have won it all, you know, Kentucky in, what, 2012 and then Duke in 2015 being more the exception than the norm.
Exceptions, right.
Do you see college basketball in this evolving?
It's an older game. The teams that are winning championships they have that blend of youth and upperclassmen as well. To me, the biggest component of the college game remains the so-called one and done rule. And God bless Adam Silver, because he has come out and said he's changing that is high on his agenda, and it really does need to change. And it seems like there is momentum for a baseball style model where NBA teams would go back to drafting, if they so choose, some players right out of high school. But if you are not drafted out of high school, or if you elect not to sign out of high school, then you will not be eligible to be drafted again for multiple years.
You know, it's interesting. I heard Coach K talking about this on Mike and Mike just the other day, and, you know, talking about that dynamic certainly, where if someone's good enough out of high school and they're going to be able to make a great living, how do you deny them that opportunity? But then once they get to college, you know, let them actually be in college. And then, you know, maybe the one thing that bridges the gap is something that, you know, the D League or the G League, maybe expanding that a little bit. So there's a little bit of a minor league system. So, you know, guys who don't want to go to college, don't go to college. You go to the D League or the G League or whatever, and you're able to develop there. So that college doesn't become as much of a joke as it is right now to a lot of these guys who are one and done. And, you know, I mean, we all know, right? It's you go to class for one semester, you enroll in the second semester, you bail out, and by the time you get caught, your season's already over and you're on your way to the NBA.
That is indeed the case some of the time, Rich. But you look at a program such as Kentucky, those one and dones, they're completing at least their second semester work, because Kentucky's APR, academic progress rate, is really, really, really exceptional. And that means that those kids, even as they're preparing for the draft, are somehow still hanging around and still getting some grades. And, you know, more credit to them. But as I look at the draft, guys, here's really all you need to know about the NBA draft, is that Harry Giles, who averaged less than 4 points a game last season as a freshman, is going to be drafted a couple of hours before a consensus national player of the year, who's also a Virginian, and that would be the Kansas guard Frank Mason from Petersburg High School.
Yeah, and you did a great column on this earlier today, or within the last day or so. I read it earlier today, and you're right. It's all about the potential, right? It doesn't really matter what you've done, but how you've been groomed. You talked about the AAU circuit and really what your potential is. I mean, that's what this draft's all about.
Potential, and Frank Mason is 5'11". Harry Giles is 6'11". Frank Mason is 23. Harry Giles is 19. You know? So you can't teach tall, and there's no such thing as a time machine. So that's why Harry Giles is going to go in the first round and Frank Mason's going to go in the middle of the second.
DailyPress.com Hall of Fame columnist David Teal on the sports line with us discussing the NBA draft. You mentioned the AAU circuit and dating back to Jason Tatum's days there, and obviously Frank Mason with his ties to the Virginia region. How much has college suffered because of the stigma for a lot of guys of needing to be a one and done, and that almost becoming a status symbol amongst basketball players?
I think sometimes you see that in where guys who they somehow consider themselves a failure if they're not considered one and done potential. But then, you know, you look at guys who stick around for multiple years. And you see examples of, I mean, Malcolm Brogdon, now albeit in a you know, down year for rookies, he was in the conversation for Rookie of the Year this year. The only two NBA draftees to average in double figures this past season, the only ones drafted a year ago this month who averaged double figures this season, were seniors from last year. Malcolm Brogdon, and why is the other one slipping my mind? But trust me, both. Oh, Buddy Hield from Oklahoma. Both college seniors.
And this year you look, and not necessarily a senior, but certainly a guy who stuck around a while, and we were talking about him earlier, Justin Jackson. Do you think that, you know, these examples might wind up, assuming they continue to pan out and, you know, work out not only as far as draft position goes, because clearly Justin Jackson coming back did nothing but help his draft position, as now he's projected right around the middle of the first round. But if he has a good year or career in the NBA, I mean, do these kids notice that and say, hey, you know, maybe I don't need to get out just for the sake of getting out after a year?
No. Because
that frustrates me.
If someone's whispering in their ear, you're a first rounder, especially a lottery pick, you know, they're out of there. And that's just the way the system works. Nine times out of ten, they're going to be gone. And hey, you know, that's fine. But as we talked about moving forward, I don't think they're going to have that option after 1 year. I think it's going to be at least two.
David Thiel with us here on the Sports Line. Is there a program that stands to benefit the most from the outcomes tonight, or would that be Duke, and they really don't have anywhere to go other than where they already are, which is right at the top?
Right. I mean, Duke is going to be fine. I don't think we need to send any sympathy cards to Durham. They've got a host of recruits coming in and Grayson Allen coming back. They're going to be just fine, and Kentucky's going to be just fine. In fact, they'll probably be both consensus top five when we hit the preseason come October.
David Thiel, Newport News Daily Press, joining us here, Hall of Fame columnist. Louisville, the sanctions, the appeal. What did you make of all this? What was your initial impression when you first heard what the penalty was that the NCAA came down with?
Well, first of all, I did not read the entire NCAA report, but the excerpts that you read were really, really unsettling, disgraceful even. You know, to think of a 16-year-old who's saying, no, I don't want to do this, and then essentially being shamed into it by adults. That's unconscionable. That's unforgivable. Now, Rick Pitino says he didn't know. Fine, let's take him at his word. But that's his program. He's responsible for it. He's asking these parents to entrust their children to him. And then he has the gall to complain about a 5-game suspension? Man, that takes some chutzpah.
Yeah, especially considering his own personal track record, too, to a degree, right? I mean, that's got to factor into it somehow.
Well, I don't think it has to factor in t- to the penalty.
No, not the penalty, but the bigger picture.
His response to it,
right.
Yes. Have some humility. Have some shame about it. I mean, my gracious. And yes, I understand that, you know, the Louisville faithful and such, that, you know, they're upset about the prospect of seeing a banner come down. Well, guess what? After what transpired in that dorm, wouldn't bother me any.
This has also gotten Carolina haters particularly riled up, David, because...
You don't say.
They see what's happening at Louisville, and you know this, I'm sure, obviously, that they suspect, and maybe rightfully so, that nothing's going to happen to Carolina, and wonder why and wonder how. What explanation is there for that?
There is no explanation yet, because we don't know what's going to happen to North Carolina. North Carolina hasn't even had its infractions hearing yet, guys. I mean, we're a long way from resolution at North Carolina. So I'm not going to judge that yet. And the tone of the NCAA's last response to North Carolina, where North Carolina was saying, you know, you don't have any jurisdiction here, and the NCAA basically said, you know, we'll see you in court, is basically what they said. So I'm not convinced by any stretch that North Carolina will go unscathed here.
You know, you look at the Louisville situation, and like you and Edward just talking about, I mean, people want to read things into the Carolina situation, but they're very different, right? Because of the academics and that side of the equation, which maybe the NCAA doesn't have the jurisdiction over. And I guess that's going to be the major, you know, question that the courts or whoever is going to answer, but very different scenario from what we saw at Louisville.
Well, and very different, Rich, in how the NCAA framed the alleged violations or allegations, in that the NCAA said that what was provided to the prospects at Louisville constituted an extra benefit. Therefore, when those players who eventually signed at Louisville took the court, they were ineligible. That's why Louisville will end up having to vacate victories and probably a championship. Whereas at North Carolina, there's been no mention of extra benefit and ineligibility, which you could then take the step of saying, okay, you used an ineligible player in these contests, ergo, this banner and or this banner comes down. Now, that doesn't mean that the Committee on Infractions can't still say, you know, look, this academic fraud was so egregious and involved so many athletes from those championship teams, bring them down. But it's a bigger leap than it was at Louisville.
David, thank you, man.
Sure. Happy to do it, guys. Looking forward to the draft tonight. And,
any surprises that you want to throw out there? Predictions?
I don't know about surprises. I don't pretend to, you know, have general managers on speed dial or player agents and such. But I'll tell you, one ACC player who I really like, who I just think's going to end up being a terrific pro, and that's John Collins at Wake Forest. He's not a shooter yet. I think he can become a shooter. He's a terrific athlete. He is long. He is springy. and he rebounds the dickens out of it. He's an instinctive shot blocker. I think that guy's going to be in the NBA for a long time.
Hey, let me ask you this one.
Sure.
Because we were going over this earlier. What kind of pro do you think Luke Kennard's going to be?
Well, I'll tell you what, he's moving up now. That guy's stock is on the rise.
Yeah, I mean, and top 10.
He can stroke it now. He can shoot. They say his wingspan is not good, which bodes ill for his defensive abilities, but he was never lightning on fire defensively in college. But he is a crafty scorer. I mean, he's not just a spot-up guy. But, gosh, you know, remember him at Wake Forest last year where he basically saved Duke's season, scored 30 in the second half on 10 of 10 shooting? Is he the leading scorer on a contending team? No. But is he a nice complementary scorer on a team that could succeed? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're looking.
Not the answer you wanted, I know.
Well, no, I mean, it's just he struck me as one of those guys where I'm looking going, when you look at Duke and you look at how much talent they have, and, you know, it never seemed to be the best defender that was guarding him. You know, with all the other talent that they had, and then now all of a sudden,
very fair point.
You know, all of a sudden you put them in the NBA where there are all of these elite players, and you know, I just wonder how his game, you know, kind of translates to the NBA. And you know, we were talking about another Duke guy, JJ Redick, and I didn't know that Kennard was quite as good a shooter as Redick is or was, or I guess still is. So, he was just one guy to see his name, you know, right there on the verge of the top 10 that seemed a little bit high as far as I was concerned. That's all.
Well, his workouts have obviously been excellent. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, he'll be perhaps guarded by a better caliber of defender, but he's going to be surrounded, you know, on the right team by very good offensive players as well, who will be able to create for him. And as a spot up shooter and such, and just somebody who's crafty. Here's a name that just pops into my mind, and I haven't thought of this before, but they're both left handed. They're both shooters, and he's probably bigger than he is. And I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but he could be a Ginobili type.
Okay. Kind of all the intangibles.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Oh, intangibles is as long as the day is.
Mm.
That's a form of quarterback, leadership, absolute.
Fun draft tonight, David. We appreciate the time. As always, enjoy your summer, and you know we'll be in touch.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate the time. David Teal, Hall of Fame columnist. Newport News Daily Press.
Not as down on Luke Kennard as you are.
He's a Duke guy.
His wife went there. And you have no problem ever bringing that up.
And you could speak to that as well as any, how much influence your wife can have.
Oh, indeed. Unlike you, you stand up to your woman. It's worked out so well, of course.
Well, maybe if you would, you wouldn't be injured doing the dishes.
Yes.
What did our fearless leader, Gary, tell you today? What was his advice to you?
Shouldn't do it. Should delegate it.
To whom?
To the professional dishwasher.
Boy, you're tiptoeing around this subject.
Well, why don't you fill us in?
I know what he said. We all know what he said. You have a wife, she should do the dishes. Right?
Not my words.
Of course not. Quick break, got a Barlow Thursday coming back. We've got much more, including some Redskins talk. Stay tuned.